seem like it. It might seem like it, but I personally think that is the probably the most unwise thing people can. To me, this is like in college when you're struggling, you know, with your 12th cup of coffee, trying to finish a midterm research paper or something, and you know, like your professor, you know, at the last minute gets sick and decides to be nice, you know, and gives you an extra week to finish the paper you were struggling with. You still have to write the paper, right? So, it gives us a little breathing room, a little time to get a little more familiar with the different options that are emerging in the marketplace. If you haven't been testing, you know, kind of cookieless targeting and measurement options in the on the media measurement and activation side, this would be a great time to start doing that actively. Like if you're not exploring the opportunities around reaching your audience of retail data, retail media networks, private marketplaces, you know, some of the solutions that are related to data clean rooms and data onboarding solutions, you know, kind of coupled with identity resolution type solutions, you know, that are all kind of geared, you know, some of which are geared to, not all of them, but some of them are geared towards specifically enabling kind of these addressable marketplaces, right, where you can actually kind of continue to like one-to-one reach certain audiences, especially if you have an existing relationship with a user and have access to first party data directly, and then you can kind of couple that with a publisher's first party data in a privacy friendly way. You see a number of different options emerging in that direction, some of which have been around for a while. Testing, right? I think what it'll also do is it's going to give more breathing room for so some of the solutions that are emerging to deal with third-party cookie deprecation in more privacy-friendly ways, right? I think it's going to give some more time for those to be more mature as well before the deprecation deadlines. Get ready to deep dive into the world of digital transformation, where we explore the latest trends, innovations, and challenges shaking up industries. Join us as we decode the secrets behind successful digital strategies and hear from experts who are at the forefront of disrupting the status quo. In each episode, we'll unravel the mysteries of the digital realm and uncover the hidden opportunities that lie within. From artificial intelligence to blockchain, from automation to cybersecurity, we'll leave no digital stone unturned. But hold on tight, because this podcast isn't your average tech talk. We're injecting a hefty dose of wit and humor into every episode, making learning about digital transformation an absolute blast. So if you're ready to embrace the digital revolution with a smile on your face, tune in to the Digital Disruption Podcast and get ready to be entertained, informed, and inspired. Don't miss out on the fun. Subscribe now and join us on this wild digital journey.
Hello and good morning. How are you doing, Patrick?
I'm doing well. How are you doing, Doug?
I'm doing well also. I'm quite surprised. I need to work on my British accent. Since Google has backtracked again on their third-party depreciation, and I think it's because of the. I mean, I'm not sure. It's because of the British. Maybe it is. I do not know. To be honest, they blame the British, so we're gonna blame the British too.
Yeah, in fact, didn't we get out our magic eight ball back in the fall? And I think we predicted that this time they really were deprecating. And I think our magic eight ball prediction was wrong.
Yeah.
In fact, In fact, the deadline did get pushed. I don't think we're sharing any new news at this point, but it does have relevance to what we want to talk about today. So,
Yeah, today is all about GA4. Congratulations, GA4. Today is your shining episode. So, what do we have today for GA4
yeah,
besides
so let's
jokes?
sure. No, always a little dose of that, but I think, I mean, for one thing, obviously, if you have a standard G Universal Analytics properties, they have not been collecting data for a while now. You have had access to your data, however, and that is also going to be going away here in short order at the start of July. So, just I guess a friendly reminder, if you do want to retain any of that valuable data that you've collected, you should back it up ASAP. And if you have a very large account, like a 360 status account that you're still actively using and you want to back that up, just keep in mind the size of the data set directly impacts how quickly that data can be downloaded, exported without encountering sampling via API. So and to be perfectly frank, like for some size accounts, you might be, it almost is too late to probably download them if you're talking billions of rows of data. So just, there's something to consider. You may have to rethink what your backup strategy is. But also, we're seeing some clients that want to back up, 10 years plus of data. And in my experience, I mean, it's always nice to have, I mean, you spent money and time and effort to collect the data. I understand why people want that much data, and there may be some good use cases for it. In terms of comparing how your business is doing more than year over year or a couple of years, I would say for most analysis purposes, like two full years, 3 full years of data are going to be perfectly sufficient for kind of historical uses of analytics data. You start getting beyond that, and like the actual market and business, and your web experience and things have changed so sufficiently over time that those time-bound comparisons aren't quite as meaningful as you might think. But nevertheless, time to back up the data. In terms of additional migration items you need to get sorted would be the big ones to get the most value out of Google Analytics 4 are going to be migrating your Universal Analytics conversion goals to GA4 conversion goals. And what I mean by that migration is within your linked media accounts. So for most people, that's going to be Google Ads. You also can use Universal Analytics conversion goals in Display and Video 360. So if you haven't already, you would also need to make that migration within DV360 to using GA4 goals. If you are if, historically, well, not historically. Let me just unclog my brain here for a second, Daoud. If you were using Universal Analytics goals in Search Ads 360, so in the past this was a GA 360 only feature, but if you were using those conversion goals directly into Search Ads 360, you're going to need to make that switch now. And a big thing is these features that were 360 only in Universal Analytics, they're standard. They're also available for standard GA4 accounts. So you may not have been utilizing some of this in the past, and you may want to now. So specifically DV360 linking, SA360 linking, and then I'm going to talk about Campaign Manager 360 linking. So you can actually share GA4 conversion goals with your Floodlight configuration as well. And in Campaign Manager, they'll be your those GA4 goals would be basically treated like Floodlight activities. If you've used the Firebase integration to Campaign Manager, it functions, it's very similar to that. So do that migration. Give yourself the gift of time. Do not migrate those conversions, and then on day one start using them for all of your bidding strategies and optimization in Google Ads. Add them as what are called secondary conversions. So that means they serve a reporting only function. Do some benchmarking and monitoring for 10 to 15 days, and just see if everything's copacetic with what you would be expecting. If there's 20% less discrepancy between GA4 conversion goals and Universal Analytics goals you were using, or pixel-based goals, you'd be in good shape. But if you see any really wide variances, it'd be a red flag that maybe GA4 isn't tracking exactly what you think it is, or maybe your other conversions are overcounting, et cetera. And then when you do promote GA4 conversion goals to primary conversion goals, make sure you demote the other ones. Otherwise, you could potentially be a double or triple counting conversions, which you also don't want to do, because you'll tell your boss you're doing a really good job, and then a month later, when you realize what you did, you'll be having to have a pie on your face when you say, "No, I wasn't doing as well as I thought I was. I just was double or triple counting everything." Audiences. If you use Universal Analytics audiences published to your connected media platforms, you will also need to migrate those audiences to GA4 audience. I think one of the big upgrades of GA4 is that audiences are shared live, continuous audience sharing. You don't have to publish audiences one at a time to connected platforms. So if you have Google Signals enabled, and you have ads personalization turned on, and then you have linked your Google Ads account, DV360, Search Ads 360, if you're a publisher, Google Ad Manager, you can share those audiences directly. So every time you create a new audience, it will automatically be available in those platforms. Incidentally, you can also link Salesforce Marketing Cloud, and if you have the GA4 connector, it's a line item in your Salesforce contract. But if you have that enabled and you're also using Journey Builder, you can actually sync your Salesforce subscriber IDs with GA4 data, and then you can actually use those audiences as entry points into your Journey Builder flows. So that's kind of a cool feature as well. In either case, anything that was using Universal Analytics audiences in the past, you're going to have to migrate to GA4 audiences. So just keep that in mind. Sorry, I'm going to pause right there. Any questions about anything I've shared GA4 update related so
Not
far?
much. I think people who handle GA4 would be very happy about the new updates that are happening.
Yeah, I mean, there are some actual workflow upgrades. I know people are still doing the familiarization routine, which kind of baffles me at this point of why people aren't familiar with GA4 yet. I guess I will say one exception is Universal Analytics 360 account, power users who really have been devotedly working within Universal Analytics context and still are up to the deadline. I'd say those users could be forgiven, that they maybe haven't familiarized with GA4 yet, but it's time to get familiar with GA4 for sure. And if you're, of course, if you're a standard GA account user, then really have no excuse at this point to not be more familiar with GA4 if you're not already. And really taking advantage of some of those better workflows, and also the fact that previously 360 only features are now available to standard properties is really those are two things I think advertisers should be attentive to and take advantage of, really. And certainly, we know there's still questions out there, but there's a lot of confusion between the different acquisition reports, you know, traffic acquisition, user acquisition, where is data-driven attribution in effect? We've written a blog post about it. You know, several of our friendly competitors in the industry have written blog posts about it. You can find the information you need to understand these reports. You know, we do, we always post about this, the podcast too, and we would like to hear from you. So if you honestly have lingering questions about ad tech, like, post us a comment anytime. You know, we will try to respond directly to it, either in the comments on LinkedIn, or we'll take your question and we'll bring it into a podcast and try and answer that for you. So, certainly, it's time that everybody who've been power users in Universal Analytics become power users in GA4. We don't have the luxury of, I guess, of staying in 2018 or 2019 anymore.
Well,
Google, so
with Google announcing their, they didn't announce any deadline for the deprecation of third-party cookies.
Not a specific date, but early 2025 was the update.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, that's Google. So, and they are allowing people to upload first-party data now.
That's a great segue into, yes. So we, you know, people who've been using, who use Google Ad Tech heavily are familiar with some things like customer match, where you can actually take your own first-party audiences, load them into Google Ads, or into Display and Video 360. So that's not unfamiliar territory necessarily. We have now also enhanced conversions. So if you have been leveraging consent mode plus enhanced conversions, you know that you also can send first-party data directly into Google Ads and Search Ads 360. So, you know, literally like customer data or data about leads when people submit a lead form. When you do that, that data is hashed inbound. If you don't hash it proactively, it's hashed on the inbound. So no unhashed data. I mean, just to be clear, no unhashed data is getting submitted into Google's like data storage systems associated with your ad tech. It's all hashed data. And then that data is can be matched in a privacy friendly way on the back end to kind of help fill some of the data gaps, you know, that are caused by, either partial consent signals, all the various things that challenge our ability to measure media impact today. But so the interesting thing is in the GA4 context, and this just came out of the alpha into an open beta in the last few weeks, is user provided data. Or you'll see it abbreviated because we feel the obsessive need to acronymize. I made up a word. We turn everything into acronyms. Acronyms. So I've coined the term acronymize to turn words, full words, into acronyms. And I hate it. But anyway, we do it. So user provided data's acronym, as you might suspect, is UPD. So you'll see that floating around. And this is quite literally the functional equivalent of enhanced conversions, but for GA4. So you can configure your GA4 tag to send this data into GA4, the same email, phone number, first, last type data, right? So getting that into GA4 directly provides that same benefit. So now, not just within the context of, say, a Google Ads or a search ads, right? We're talking about providing that benefit of interpolating some of that missing conversion data directly within GA4 now. So this is a pretty powerful upgrade. Again, it's hashed data. There are some implications of you can just go into the admin. So be careful who you give admin access in your own GA4 properties. You don't just want any, sort of you don't want to, let's just say, like your boss's kid who was hired as an intern probably making these changes in your GA4 system, but your actual proper GA4 admins can do these things. But you can just turn on the user provided data functionality, and then you can update your tagging to send the data in. And there's a few different methods for that. The two caveats are, as of right now, if you enable it, you can't disable it.
Oh.
And I mean, you could stop sending the data in, but you can't disable the feature. And the feature, once it's enabled, it as of right now, it impacts your BigQuery export. If you're exporting user level data into BigQuery, that is not supported when you have this feature enabled. I'm assuming it has to do with privacy considerations of one kind or another. I haven't seen any official announcement of the why of that, but it's a big consideration if you are using that user data export piece of the BigQuery export for GA4. So just keep that in mind. Just weigh the benefits against the limitations, I guess. But it's actually all platforms are going to be doing a bit more of this, kind of modeled interpolation of missing data. Most are already doing it to some degree. Campaign Manager 360 has had modeled conversions for some time now in terms of like media measurement reporting. Again, it's a feature you could turn off, but I'd say most advertisers are using it today. Google Ads has modeled conversions and has had enhanced conversions now for a bit. I know just in the clients we work directly with, those that have enhanced conversions enabled for Google Ads are certainly recapturing lost information. You have to, again, it's a trade-off, right? You know that some percentage of your attributed conversion data set now includes conversions that were not directly observed or observable, right? So now we're in this kind of modeled territory where, based on other campaign performance and based on observed conversions and on the kind of partial signals that are available and the ability to match back to signed in, opted in users on the back end, right? Then you're able to kind of join some data together. I think the whole concept around like CAPI or a server to server type measurement in the paid social media context and in affiliate marketing context is, certainly it also helps to fill gaps along a number of other media channels than just Google. But I honestly think this is like, I guess I'll have two, I want to say two things. One, I just want to reinforce, because in some people's minds, you've been using Google Analytics for a long time, like sending PII into Google Analytics has been a huge no-no, right? And you could actually get faced with data deletion, account suspension, et cetera, whatever. But so there's a certain aspect of this that just sort of feels on the surface of it sort of very un-Googly, but I just want to reinforce there is no unencrypted, unhashed data that gets into Google's data systems associated with your own GA4 property. Like so that data is, and it's not reportable data either. So there's kind of, I guess there's two kind of layers there, right? You're not, one, you're not reporting on this data, and two, you're also not, it's not unencrypted data at all. So, and even like if you're using the user ID feature, which has been, part of GA4's kind of identity support since day one. So if you're using a first party identifier to, as your user ID, either it can't be a an unhashed, unencrypted piece of PII, right? It has to either be like, if you do want to use email address, it already has to be a hashed email address. Otherwise, it has to be kind of an alphanumeric type of an identifier, right? So I just want to reinforce, like, even though it sort of initially is a bit jarring, it is intended to be and to use it compliantly. And the tech itself doesn't support ingesting data in a way that it would be personally identifiable information. So yeah.
Now, I was just gonna ask, with Google not depreciating third-party data, is this an excuse for people to slack off?
It might seem like it, but I personally think that is probably the most unwise thing people can. To me, this is like in college when you're struggling, with your 12th cup of coffee, trying to finish a midterm research paper or something, and like your professor, at the last minute gets sick and decides to be nice, and gives you an extra week to finish the paper you were struggling with. You still have to write the paper, right? So it gives us a little breathing room, a little time to get a little more familiar with the different options that are emerging in the marketplace. If you haven't been testing, kind of cookieless targeting and measurement options in the on the media measurement and activation side, this would be a great time to start doing that actively. Like, if you're not exploring the opportunities around reaching your audience of retail data, retail media networks, private marketplaces, some of the solutions that are related to data clean rooms and data onboarding solutions, kind of coupled with identity resolution type solutions, that are all kind of geared to, some of which are geared to, not all of them, but some of them are geared towards specifically enabling kind of these addressable marketplaces, right, where you can actually kind of continue to, like, one-to-one reach certain audiences, especially if you have an existing relationship with a user and have access to first-party data directly, and then you can kind of couple that with a publisher's first-party data in a privacy-friendly way. You see a number of different options emerging in that direction, some of which have been around for a while. Testing, right? I think what it'll also do is it's going to give more breathing room for. So some of the solutions that are emerging to deal with third-party cookie deprecation in more privacy-friendly ways, right? I think it's going to give some more time for those to be more mature as well before the deprecation deadline. So things like privacy, some of the privacy sandbox functionality, for that to be more embedded in the ad tech people are actually using, right? And the MarTech that people are actually using, right? For the most part, it's becoming pretty clear to me, like, most advertisers are not going to be using the privacy sandbox functionality, like, directly, like, developing all kinds of solutions based on this. It's more of the ad tech and, MarTech infrastructure that will be utilizing these functionalities. So we need more time in that sense for those features, and also competing features, other open standard type features, for those things to become more embedded and operationalized.
Well, I would think, I was gonna say I would segue to a couple of episodes that we did, but that's segueing to the past, not segueing to the future. So after this episode, you can check our episode with Andrew. We talked about the depreciation of third-party cookies and what should you do. You can also check one of our earliest episodes. We talked about deprecating third-party cookies and some of the first-party data strategies that you could use. That being said, what else is Google cooking for us? Is there anything else that we should be aware of?
I mean, they have a pretty robust roadmap. It's NDA only for clients. So I'd be, I can't really share their full GA4 roadmap. But what I can say is, as a partner, there's a ongoing, commitment to keep building the platform out, making it more robust. I suspect there's going to be additional features down the road that are either geared towards getting more value out of things like user-provided data, and that type of, functionality, enabling more ML type, audience generation, insight generation, predictive audiences. That's a big, again, that's a big upgrade from Universal Analytics in terms of being able to actually build audience segments off of these, predictive metrics around churn and conversion propensity, et cetera. That's where I sort of see a large focus. I bet there will be some additional integrations coming. I mean, those are the kind of key areas from my perspective. And then, like I said, we did get a little extra time. So rather than sit on our hands and do nothing for another year, I would say advertisers would be well served, to do any of the testing and learning that they should have been doing.
They were.
Oh, there's one of them. We did a blog post on this one recently as well. The audience export via the GA4 API is pretty cool too. You can actually export audiences from GA4 with the user ID or device ID dimension. And so, that's one thing people have talked about in the past is about how can you use audiences, Google Analytics audiences outside of Google. Well, you can. Caveats, right? Is test it. You can easily test this in the developer, the Google developer site, using the API tool. You can actually query it like within, 5 minutes. You could be querying an audience you've created, and you can kind of see from the output what your likely match rates are going to be, where you either have a user ID or a device ID available. So it's, there may be some, I guess, scalability considerations still, but yeah, check it out, try it. You could probably build some functionality into one of your applications to pull those audiences in directly. I mean, again, it's just using the API. So once you have the credentials created, it's going to be pretty straightforward. To just once you know the general process to do it, just take a look at our blog. You can get kind of an end-to-end run through of the process, and then you could kind of figure out how to automate that as, within the application. So pretty cool. I like it.
Yeah, me too. Although I'm not such a Google Analytics user, but I work with
I
what I
know.
get.
That's right. Well, we kept it short and sweet today. We didn't
Yeah.
go, we didn't get into any crazy topics. We did use a few acronyms, but we didn't talk about composability or data streaming. We didn't talk about anything too far out into the ether
Into the
today.
wilderness.
We kept it pretty straightforward and on point today. It's unusual for
Yeah.
us.
Yeah. I mean, Google doesn't have that much update, so next time we'll have more interesting topics. Let's say interesting topics. But for people who have listened so far, please listen to the last episode with Andrew, and then make sure to back up your data, make sure to migrate from GA3 if UA if you haven't migrated yet, and get those testing goings. And that's it. Anything
All right, my
else?
friend. I don't think so, but I will just reiterate real quick before we close is we actually would love your comments, feedback, and questions. Questions in particular will help us tailor future episodes to, and if you ask a really good question, well, maybe we'll have you on as a guest and we'll find out what you and your company are doing, pushing the envelope forward in terms of digital transformation.
Yep, that's for sure. Love to see it. Well, I'll see you tomorrow. I'll see you tomorrow. I'll see you next time, Patrick.
Sounds good. Thanks, David.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And that's a wrap for this episode of the Digital Disruption Podcast. We hope you enjoyed our deep dive into the world of digital transformation and gained valuable insights to help navigate the ever-changing landscape. If you have any questions, comments, or suggestions for future episodes, we'd love to hear from you. You can reach us on our website, esens.com, or connect with us on social media. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast and stay tuned for more exciting discussions on the forefront of digital innovation. Remember, the future is now, and it's time to embrace the power of transformation. Thanks for listening, and until next time.